Hello and welcome to Out and About in Moravians. I'm your host, Jeremy Barfer. As part of my job as Member of the Scottish Parliament, I get to travel around Moravians, meeting interesting people and hearing about how the companies, charities and projects they work for benefit and contribute to our community. On this podcast, I will share their stories. On today's episode, I'm looking forward to talking to Stephen Fishbacker from Fishy Music.
Well, thanks for having us, Stephen. Fishy Music, tell me more.
Well, it's a charity, and it's been going for 25 years, and it's called Fishy because my last name is Fishbacker, and when we set it up, I was called Fishy at school, and we just thought that sounded quite a good name, but it's nothing to do with fish, and it's nothing. I mean, it's not just about me. It's about working with children and supporting children. Funny name though, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
But catchy. So, tell me, how long have you been here? You work with children, in what way? I mean, obviously music maybe gives us a clue, but just expand a bit more about, you know, what does Fishy Music do? How long have you been here for?
I mean, we basically use the transformative power of song to help children express and explore emotions. So we kind of stumbled upon this. Basically, I always use music as part of my youth and children's work. I've been doing that for 35, 37 years, I think, now. And I never really thought about it, but it just always kind of worked when I had my guitar with me and we sang around a campfire or whatever, but kind of good things happened around that. And it was only later on when I look back on it and I realised that a lot more was going on in terms of what was happening in terms of a community thing. A group of people were bonded by a spiritual, an emotional, a physical and a community kind of thing when we're singing together. And it's one of the few things we do when we're all together. And I used to work in a church in Edinburgh, and I wrote a lot of songs for a service, a family service. And the songs that were most helpful, people come back to us to say these were really helpful, were songs about bullying, anger, stuff that people face, like the kind of tough emotions that people faced. And slowly started to realise that songs were a way of helping children to express stuff, celebrate, to get angry with, to let out things that were important to them. So then intentionally we started writing songs on bullying, self-esteem, and that's what teachers said back in the late 90s, these are the main issues that children face. I don't think that's really changed very much over the 25 years that we've been going for. You might call it different things. You might call it emotional literacy. You might call it emotional intelligence. You might call it resilience, different things like that. But basically, particularly since COVID, there's huge amounts of need amongst children and teachers. Teachers had to cope with so much during COVID. But I think our songs give children an opportunity to express stuff, uncomfortable and comfortable.
So I expect a lot of parents who have primary school kids probably know your songs, because certainly in my experience, my kids came back packing up their troubles and all these songs would really help them talk about their emotions. So do you go into schools or do schools come to you? How does it work?
So for 25 years, we've visited hundreds and hundreds of schools in Scotland. We do about 50 or 60 visits a year. So we see up to 20, 30,000 kids a year, something like that. A lot of parents would know our songs, but they wouldn't know it was Fishy Music.
Yeah.
So songs like Build Up, You're a Star, A Bag of Worries are well used daily in schools all around Scotland and the UK as well.
So obviously, before COVID, you were kind of doing that. During COVID, did you have to, obviously you couldn't go into school, so how did you adapt for that period of time?
It was interesting, on the day that COVID started, all the restrictions started, we just finished doing a course on doing creative work online. We work with the University of the Highlands and Islands on someone up there who'd been doing this for 10 years of working creatively online. And we started doing online assemblies for schools. So basically, kids and their parents were at home, and they had Joe Wicks on at 9, they had someone else on doing a dance thing at 10, and then Fishy was on at 11. So we got tens, if not hundreds of thousands of views of these online assemblies, and I think it just gave a sense of people connecting with one another and schools having something to do. I think parents were finding it really difficult to, and teachers were finding it really difficult to keep their kids motivated on Teams. So we started doing a lot of stuff online. So we've done probably 30 or 35 of these online concerts, and that's been a massive move forward for being able to, like, the reach of, you know, it's a worldwide reach, but primarily, you know, we're doing this within Scotland. So it's actually been a good thing. Along with the, I still think the best way of working is face to face and doing it live, but you can. I was up in my attic looking at the screen with earphones in, a Zoom on my left-hand side with my colleague from Dalkeith, 15 miles away, sort of keeping in contact with him and seeing this middle-aged man, oh, that's me, you know, playing guitar on the screen. And it was hard because, you know, normally you get, there's this feedback thing going on when you're with kids, but we kind of learned how to communicate in another way.
So obviously Fishy Music started with you, but there's more than you now part of Fishy Music. So how's the team grown over the last wee while?
Well, up to 2004, if you saw a Fishy CD, it was Stephen Fishbacher. And it was 2004 that I realised that this is something much bigger than me. I mean, in terms of, I'd sort of tapped into this, as I say earlier, the transformative power of song, like the real power that song can have on people. So then we changed the whole thing to Fishy Music. So other people came and joined me. My good friend and colleague Suzanne Butler has been with me since 2000. But it was 2004 that it actually became a movement rather than a person. And I think I always saw this as being something that would go on beyond me. And, you know, we'd established something that was a wee bit different. It's kind of taken, it's been taken on in maybe a quarter of Scotland schools now have our online service. So when we're not, like in the old days, they would just do Fishy when we were there or off the CD. But now what they can do is they can, every teacher in every classroom can actually start off the day with a hello song, finish it with a May You Find Peace song. At break time after some skirmishes in the playground, they can put on a calming song, or they can celebrate something, or do an eco song. So it's really well established in the kind of health and well-being work of a quarter of Scotland schools.
Yeah. I mean, obviously post-COVID, even before COVID, we were talking a lot about children's mental health. And obviously you've seen it now perhaps 25, 30 years. Do you think things are getting more harder to be a child at primary school, secondary school, and how do we react to that? You know, obviously you react with singing and songs, but as a society, how should we be reacting to that?
Well, I think it's been particularly marked since COVID. I think families were cooped up for 2 years, and there was a lot of kids who were cooped up in quite dangerous situations. Schools, in my experience, are often the safe place for children. And when I hear stories of kids being given Greg's vouchers for their lunch so that they can eat during the holidays, it just breaks my heart. I think with the online things have changed a lot. And that does present opportunities, but it presents quite a lot of issues. Kids are not, you know, the same way participating in sports and other things like that. It is a challenge, but I think, I don't know if things are necessarily getting worse, But I think there's different challenges. And as I say, I think the same issues like, you know, self-esteem, purpose, hope, things like that, bullying, all these things have been around for millennia.
Yeah, absolutely. So you touched on it earlier, but just tell us a wee bit about yourself. How did Fishy Music get to be Fishy Music? But a bit about your story.
Yeah. I've always worked with youth and children. And my dad said I was a bit daft. I was a bit silly. But I used that silliness and daftness or childlikeness to... I just enjoy being with children. I have fun with children, and I feel comfortable singing songs with children. It's just something I've always done. And as I say, I worked in a church for many years, and I basically saw the power of song. If you take song out of society, you're left with a pretty dry society. Imagine a wedding or a funeral or a birthday party or a celebration without music. I went to a funeral a few years ago and there was no music at it, and we're just absolutely, you could see people were just bursting with emotion and there was no outlet. And in my experience, when you sing, something's released. So I think started to, you say, it was quite an organic, it was just quite a natural kind of progression. And it was only when we started to do evaluation into the power of song and music, that we started to realise that this stuff is powerful stuff. Yeah, it's been relatively recently that I think that it's been accepted generally that actually music has, or songs have, evidence-based power to transform things. I remember going, we were looking for some funding from the government, and I had to basically start from the beginning, from our experience, that actually songs did make a difference. And the chap I was speaking to said, "Well, give me some evidence." We did get the funding 2 or 3 years later. He was totally convinced, not necessarily because of what we'd done, even though that helped, but with programmes like the Gareth Malone thing and other things that come around, where now it's actually, there's lots of evidence that songs, singing, in fact, singing has an impact. There was a guy at a university down in England who I was in contact with, and his goal was to try and make singing, doctors would actually prescribe singing along with exercise and antidepressants and CBT and things like that. So, you know, you get a group of teachers or a group of kids together and they sing, something changes. And we've got we did a study in our 20th anniversary on the long-term impact of Fishy Music on young adults. I think there was about 400 young adults that we spoke to who were in their mid to late 20s, and the majority of them said that they still remembered the songs and that the songs still had an impact on their confidence, the sense of self, and one or two other areas as well. So that was deeply kind of gratifying, or... I mean, it's great evidence to have that, you know, that singing is not just something for now, but it's something forever. And that's one of the reasons why we do this, is because if you ask anyone, can you remember what was said to you when you were a child? Yeah. But you can't remember much, but you can remember what was sung. So in some ways, I think these songs, I'm the only I, you're the only you, you're a star, just the way you are, you know, don't keep worries to yourself. These lines, I'm hoping, and I believe, will actually stay with children for till the end of their life. And there's so many stories of, did you hear the Touching the Void? You know, the Touching the Void thing, and he was singing Brown Girl in the Ring, you know, as he was dying, or as he thought he was dying, but somehow that song helped him through. And there's many, many other stories of how a song has literally rescued somebody.
And how do you get inspiration? I mean, where do these... I mean, someone who's not a songwriter, you know, where did your inspiration? How do you sit down and does it just come to you, or does it take weeks to produce these songs?
It does take a lot of work to actually write a song. The inspiration comes from our contact with children. So everything comes about from our experience of meeting children. We're seeing children every day, and they say the funniest things, they say the wisest things, they say the daftest things. But if you listen well enough, you'll actually hear what's going on. So you take that initial inspiration, or you take that initial thing, and then that's when the graph starts. Because I think, especially when you're working in schools, you have to think about, well, what does this mean at this current time? What does it mean within the kind of current gender thing? What does it mean within, you know? So you're having to kind of constantly cut bits out and things like that. But I love it. And then when you see children singing, like yesterday we were in a school in Edinburgh, and there was 200 kids there, absolutely giving that lalby. And their wee faces and the teachers' faces, it was just, for me, life doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah. We're coming to the end of our time, so let me finish with my final question I always like to finish with, which, so if I gave you a kind of wish, a magic wand, and you could change one thing for either the kids you're working with or the job you're doing, then just tell us something about that.
I'll just stop there and have a think, okay?
Well, while you're thinking, I actually got one actual question I was going to ask you. Because you said again your charity. So how, if people are listening to this, how can they help you as a charity if they've been inspired by what we've heard?
Well, have a listen and have a watch online, because our songs are, most of our songs are up there. Check out Spotify, there's about 10 or 12 albums up there. YouTube, there's loads and loads of videos of our online assembly, some of our projects, some of our concerts. There's stuff from our 25th anniversary up there. So there's lots of stuff, fischy.com. For those of you who've still got CD players or cassette players, do you remember cassettes? Cassettes. Well, they're not around. We do have a few of these. But yeah, have a listen. And ask your kids, if they're in primary schools, do they know the song Build Up? Do they know You're a Star? Do they know Stronger? And have a wee sing with them as well.
And people can give money towards the charity? If
they can, yes. We have a donation page on our website, fischy.com. So it'd be lovely if you want to give towards us.
So back to any thoughts of how you want to change the world with your magic wand?
From a charity point of view, I would love it if every school in Scotland would be singing fishy songs, because the schools we've seen singing fishy songs, it's made a real difference. So I said earlier on that a quarter of Scotland schools are regularly singing fishy music songs, but there's lots of wee schools and rural places and the islands and things like that as well that aren't. I'm not saying that fishy music is the be all and end all, but I do think there is something there that will actually make a big difference for the ethos of many schools. I remember a few years ago there was a local school in Pilton, and they had an inspection going on, HMI inspection. Everybody was nervous, and the kids were a bit tense because the teachers were tense. And we came in the morning and we sang Always Look on the Bright Side. We did a version of that one. And then the kids went out the corridors, and the HMI folks were there with their boards and their things, all looking very stern. The kids were going by, always look on the bright side of. So that kind of lift, whether it's fishy songs or other songs, can make a massive difference in the whole community life of a school. I'd love to see more schools singing in the morning, singing in the afternoon, singing for happy times, singing for sad times. So that would be my dream, I guess.
Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it and been really interesting. Thanks to you.
Thanks.
It was great to hear from Stephen, and about the work they're doing across Scotland in so many schools, changing young people's lives. We'll put a link into their website in the show notes, and you can go to it if you want to find out more. Thank you for listening to Out and About in the Lothians, and I look forward to speaking to you next time.